And how was that moving away from home the first time? Liverpool's quite similar to Glasgow.
It is. It was different.
Do you miss your man?
My mum and dad came down.
They moved in
at the start to help me get settled because I couldn't do anything.
No.
Couldn't do it for myself. So they moved in and then they stayed for about a year and moved back up. And by that time I was settled. I was coming back up and down now and again, but I was settled. My now wife, she was travelling up and down. She was at uni and she was coming down at the weekends. And then after she finished her uni, she moved down and that was it. Never looked back.
How was David Moyes for you? Good manager?
He was brilliant. It was very hard on me. It was the first time I'd got to a place where somebody was always criticising, always looking for better. And I couldn't deal with it at the start. I didn't know how to deal with it. When I first signed, he says, "Oh, you know, you'll change in the youth team dressing room and you're one for the future." And I was like, says, "Nah, I'm not here to."
Did you say that to me?
I says, "I'm here to play in the first team." He says, "Well, you take your time." I says, "No, I says, "I know what you're saying. And I accept that, but I'll show you that I should play in the first team." I just had that belief. So I changed the young boys' dressing room, but trained with the first team. There wasn't really, their academy was set up somewhere else. So I was a young pro there on par with, like, say, Leon Osman, Tony Hibbert played a bit more, Nick Chadwick, boys like that. But I just thought, no, I'm here to play. I'm not here to sit and go and play reserve football. I'm here to play first team football in the Premier League. So it was great. I mean, I probably played sooner than he thought I would play, but it was so hard on me every day. It was like, "Oh, you should have done that. You could have done this." And I used to think, why do you sign me here? I'm getting battered every day and I don't know how to take it, because if I'm feels all I'm doing well, you'll say, "Aye, that was good. Oh, but you should have done that." And I used to go,
"Really?
What am I getting here?
And Jenky was doing that to help you, though?
Absolutely. I'd never realised that until I left, though.
Would you ever say that to him, though? Like, why are you so hard on us?
I'd go and see him. I didn't have
How would he take that, all right?
Fine. I wouldn't go and shout. That's not the type of guy I was. But it was like, right, I'm doing well here. Why am I not playing? You're not playing because he's in front of you, or when you played last week, you done that. He says, so you need to come on for 10 minutes, do well, then the next week it'll be a bit longer, build your way in. Right, fair enough. So every time I didn't play, I would go in. If the team won, I would say, "Team won, I can't go and see him." If it didn't, and the guy who was playing my position didn't play well, I would say, "He didn't play well, why am I not playing?"
Did he like that, do you think?
Well, I was there for 4.5 years, so...
What was the standard like to train? Was it good, some good players there?
My first day was a Friday, because we played Scotland Saturday, Wednesday. He gave me the Thursday off, so my first day was a Friday, so it was boxes and games.
Brilliant.
Boxes was one touch, never heard it before in my life, and it was ridiculous. I thought I was a good
player. Did you
have one? Aye. I thought I was a good player.
With the hammer near the boys?
Aye. Three boxes, pick your player, you vote out. I get voted out.
Nothing worse.
Honestly, pick your player, you get voted out. I thought I was a good player. I went there and it was getting fizzed in.
Who were the top players?
Your mate, Tommy Gravison, was unbelievable.
Technique's ridiculous, isn't it?
Frightening player. They were all good. They were all good players. Aye.
Even boys like you wouldn't expect to be.
Aye. All of them were good. They were all good, technically very good. Obviously, Wayne Rooney was there as a young boy as well. He was a joke, how good he was. All of them.
Was he the same as you, Gallus?
Aye, he was a different level. He was brilliant.
Was he running the show in first team training?
Aye.
At 17, I think.
He was a man.
Was he?
Aye, he was brilliant. But all of them, they were all good, and it was... They weren't so hard as guys. Big Stubbs, he loved them own, but he'd done that with everybody. It wasn't personal. But they were all good. There were a few Scottish ones there. Gary Naismith, who's McGaffer now. Davy Weir, Scott Gemmell. So they kind of looked after me. They were like, they tried to help me find a house and a place to live, and they were all brilliant. It was that type of club. For all, it was a massive club. We had a wee run-down training ground. Pitches were immaculate. We only had two pitches. The gym was I'm sure it was in a porter cabin. So the building looked like an old house. And the gym and the physio room was a porter cabin. So it wasn't nothing fancy. It was a big club and it was so homely that everybody, the whole staff, ground staff, they all ate lunch at the same time. You didn't go up and say, "Right, to your mate, moan up and go for lunch and we'll not talk to anybody." It was used to go into the woman that worked in the desk, right, morning, up lunchtime.
Time,
yeah, everybody. Brilliant. So it was.
Was it boys that brought it in, or was it just something that Everton always had?
I think they always had it. Did they? I think they always had it. Mm-hmm. He encouraged it. There was never any, like, within the players and the staff, there was no us and them. It was, we were all together. It mm-hmm. was brilliant.
You'd mentioned Tommy G there. Was he nuts back then?
Aye. It was mental. Mental.
He's crazy.
He's just a different. He's just a different kind of guy. He was somebody that in a group you'd try and avoid him because he was so loud and
big way, isn't he?
Aye. Uh-huh. And he was like, it's so hard to describe him. He's like the most hyper guy uh-huh. ever, uh-huh. all the time. When you're like one on one with him, he's fine. In a group, it's a nightmare. He used to. Me, Jimmy Lumsden, about 60, Jimmy, white hair and tiny. And Tommy used to just throw him about and throw him out of the physio bed and all that.
Did he hear that Scouse accent?
Aye.
Mad, innit?
Brilliant. He used to bring a paintball gun and start shooting people. And
he had, hey, lad.
He had brought fireworks in one day. So you went in the front, through the back, the physio room was a porta cabinet at the back, but it was parallel to the one of the pitches. Uh-huh. So the physio was like the fittest guy in the whole club. He was 50, he used to play, but if you were injured, he would have you, if me and you and somebody else is injured, he'd say, right, you're out of 10. He'd do the running with you. So when you ran, he rested. When you rested, he ran.
Right.
You're at 11. You'd do the same thing. You're at half 11, and he'd do them all. Uh-huh. And you're dying after one of them. He's done the three of them.
Yeah.
So he's out running around the pitch, and Tommy's got the big rocket. Shot him. Shot the rocket at him. Physio.
Oh, I can imagine
honestly,
his face.
Honestly. He's,
I got you, lad.
But even, like, you'd do something or say something, and you'd say, Tommy, what? Uh-huh. What is it? He'd just no filter, nothing.
No, right.
He was mental. Absolutely.
See, when he was telling me, I used to say to him, what are you going to do in the summer? Are you going to go abroad? No, lad. Back to Denmark.
Aye.
I was like, oh, you got a house over there? No, lad. No. Stay in my mum's basement. Aye. He's just in his mum's basement.
He didn't have any outgoings. Didn't have any bills.
Did he know that?
No bills.
Where would he stay? Just
he stayed in Lee Carver's flat. He rented his flat. So he didn't have. I think he might have had his phone bill. He didn't have any outgoings. He didn't like having stuff like that. Uh-huh. He used to. I can't mind what motor he drove. He had a nice motor. Uh-huh. But see, in the winter, he sold it and bought a Renault Megane. It's a winter car. And his boots, he was Hummel.
That's Hummel boots, uh-huh.
So he had Hummels, but they were like maybe the newest ones. Uh-huh. But in the winter, he wore leather boots. He says, no, these are my winter shoes. And they called them shoes, they weren't the boots.
Football boots.
These are my shoes.
Oh, how did Moyes, how see Moyes like oh. being, did no handle him there?
He did, because he got him to play, but I remember we were playing Chelsea, and it was the start of them spending fortunes. McAleely was playing, they played a three in the middle. McAleely was the anchor, he stopped everybody for. He started it all. So we'd done a lot of shape and we're shaping up. And the gaffer's like, right, we're going three in the middle. Tommy, this is your job. You stick with him, don't go anywhere else, just stick with him. Need you to be disciplined. Tim Cahill and Lee Carsley, I think, were the other two. You two do the other ones. Tommy, don't move off him. Right, let's go. Ball goes out to the fullback. Tommy just sprinted away up to the fullback. You stop! Tommy, what are you doing? He went, I can get there. He says, no, don't move. Do not move for him. Right, okay, Gaffer, okay. Go again. Bang, Tommy's away. It's Tommy. He says, ah, can't help it, Gaffer. Can't help
He's
it.
He's not right, is he?
He says, right, okay, move on.
Brilliant.
Move on.
What a guy.
He was
man.
Like, but he'd won games for you. He was that good. I was so surprised. I spoke to a lot of people when he moved to Celtic. And he says, oh, what do you think? He says, he'll be by far the best player in the league. By far. He was technically amazing. Uh-huh. Technically brilliant.
Did you play head tennis
or something? But he wasn't the best head tennis player.
Who was?
One of the groundsmen and the kit man.
That's
what I'm talking about, how they used to play. They'd have like, they had an indoor AstroTurf. But you'd set the court up where one half of the court was, there was a wall there and there. Yeah. And then the other half only had one side. So you could hit it in half the wall and the whole staff
would play.
Come into players. You just want to give him a head tennis. Brilliant. Excellent. Doesn't happen anywhere else. Nah. Brilliant. Tommy was, he was brilliant. Everything in the box. He's never. I don't think I ever saw him get in the middle.
He was some player. What about big Ferguson? I remember I seen someone the other day. He said he never spoke to you for a year.
No, he didn't. He doesn't. Maybe a wee exaggeration. Uh-huh. It wasn't that he didn't speak to me, but he didn't. I wasn't in. You know, he had uh-huh. boys that he was had a bit of banter with. Uh-huh.
Who was that? Who would they boys be?
He looked after the young ones. He was right. Good with the younger uh-huh. ones.
Like but Rooney, he knew them.
Aye, he was his boy. But he was an unbelievable. I said this. He's an unbelievable professional. If he's not the best, he's one of the best that I've seen. It was before when everybody was in the gym now, before training, they go in after. Mm. He done it. He was in the gym first in every morning, every single morning, and he was always in the gym after.
Yeah.
He done shooting every day. He'd play two touch. He never really done the head tennis thing, I don't think. But
was he a top player?
Unbelievable.
Was he?
Technically frightening. Great touch. Great finisher. He worked on it every day. Uh-huh.
Was he? How would he find somebody like Tommy? Would he crack up at him?
Aye. No, he wouldn't crack. No, he was like. No, the way you expect. He kind of encouraged it as well.
Would he slaughter boys in it? Everyone had done it.
Aye.
Was he tough on you?
No. No, he was always all right with me. He was kind of, for all he was dead laid back.
Right.
Surprisingly, uh-huh. he was laid back.
So you never seen him ragdoll anyone? I remember.
I saw him in no training.
But in games.
Training. Aye. So
was it ins? I've seen him ragdoll into a game.
He done. I was there. I was right next to him when he grabbed Freund with the throat.
Tottenham.
Leicester.
Oh, Leicester. Sorry, it was
well.
A Tottenham one as well.
I think I got took off for him, and then I was there when he punched Paul Sharner at Wigan and Jimmy Bullard when he does that.
Oh.
He comes into me after it and went.
Is it you?
What's up with him? I went. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. And. I've saw him, I mean, on the park, he did let himself down a wee bit, but off the park, he was brilliant.
Gentleman, huh?
Aye, I mean, we played Charlton, I think, and Herman Hryderson was running about the back, running into people, smashing them and that, and Big Dunk's just sitting on the bench, just getting annoyed that he's smashing everybody, he's like, look at him, thinks he's hard. Right, Dunk, on you go. I says, oh, no. As soon as they walk him in, Hryderson's think he's gave him a wee nudge, and he just went... cracked him and he just fell like a domino.
He's just a big guy off. As well.
Just walked off. Sorry, lads.
What would Moyes say to him after that? Nothing there.
Moyes was it was tough on him.
Was he? Huh?
Moyes didn't. David the gaffer didn't take any rubbish off him. He was. I wouldn't say they were best mates or close. They respected each other and Dunk respected that he was Everton manager. Mm-hmm. So he didn't. For all he done that stuff on the park. A couple of times Big Dunk was sent away for training, they have a few days off and don't come back in and uh-huh. stuff like that to let it cool down. But there was never any, there wasn't any animosity or anything. It was just, he'd done that. He just, there was times where he'd lose a rag and that was it. But as a guy for us, brilliant, as a pro, excellent. I always, even like day a bit of shooting, some, like, when you talk about in the gang, if he was doing shooting, and he wasn't, you weren't in his gang. You walked in and going away. If he liked you, go, right, come on, uh-huh. come on, we'll wow. do this. Uh-huh. So it did have a few. There wasn't anybody done that way, but it was sometimes he'd be like, uh-huh. try to do a bit of extra here.
Just the last few bit on Moyes, did you expect him to do better at Man United than
aye,
he did?
I did. I thought, as I said, he done, all the way he was hard on me, but when I first went, he done everything. He'd done the warm-ups, all the passing drills, all the training. He'd done it all mm-hmm. for the match day and everything. He'd done it all because he didn't have sports science back then. So he'd done it all. He was a great coach. He knew what he wanted. We were set up. We were well-drilled. And I just thought that we watched video upon video. He knew team's weaknesses. And I thought if he could get a good run at it, he would have done well. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been through lack of effort on his part, lack of preparation. I think it was just Man United at that time needed an overhaul and it never happened. They needed, I think Ferdinand was maybe on his way out, Vidic mm-hmm. the same, Evra the same. I think they needed a new back four
new team, uh-huh.
and potentially a new midfield as well, which was always going to be difficult. And also he was mayor. He knew everything about the opposition, so it was always watch the opposition counter, how we got to stop them from playing, to allow us to play, and I don't think that transferred very well with a team that was used to being told, yous are the best and you'll go and do this and that, and I think it's just difficult at the time, but I thought he would have done really well.
You think he'll be back?
I think so. He's a he loves football. He loves it. He goes to games. He always done it. He must have been in. I wasn't in that early, but he must have been about 7:30 every morning, and he was away long after anybody else. Football is all he knows. Mm-hmm. He was totally dedicated himself to being manager, and that's why he done so well at Everton.
So why did you leave Everton? What was the circumstances with that?
I wasn't playing. I'd had every year. I kept going, right, I'll stick it out, and I'll get my chance, and my chance would come and go, and same again. I felt as though every time I played, I got to the stage where I thought, right, I need a hat trick here. If I don't get a hat trick, I'm not playing next week. Doesn't matter what I do. And that was a wee bit for the manager, and it was mostly for myself. I just kind of, I thought, there's nothing I can do here. But looking back, if I'd have stayed maybe another 6 months, it could have been different. But at the time, I just wanted to play. I wanted to play, and obviously, Alec McLeish had left and got the Birmingham job. I knew he was interested. There was a chance I could have went to Celtic as well. And I just wanted to go somewhere where I knew I was going to play.
And did you not feel that would happen at Celtic?
No, the reason, I think it was money. Because I went to the manager, and I says, he came to me first, and he says, look, you're doing well, I'm going to give you a new contract. And I says, I don't want one. And he went, what do you mean? I says, well, I'm not playing, so I'm not going to just take mere money to do the same job. Uh-huh. I'm not contributing. I want to go somewhere and play and earn my money. I feel as if if I don't play at the weekend, I still get paid, but I don't want to do that for mere money, feeling as if I'm not doing it. I'm not that kind of guy. And he says, well, just stick at it. And I says, nah. I says, look, I want to leave. I want to leave to go and play, whether it's... And he says, well, I think Celtic came in with a loan offer. And he said, well, why don't you sign an extra contract, an extension, and I'll let you go on loan? I says, well, that doesn't really solve anything, because I'm still going to have a year's contract.
When you come back?
When I come back. Yeah. So I need to play. I says, if I go and play for Celtic and do well, you men likely come down and say, well, you've done it in Scotland, so... you need to come back there and you're right again. So I says, no, I want to leave. And he says, right, well, I want £6 million for you. I says, I've hardly played. Uh-huh. He says, who's going to pay £6 million? He says, well, we want to sign David Nugent and they want £6 million. I think you're a better player than him, so that's what we want. And he says, I don't want you to leave. He says, but if you want to leave, then that's what they'll need to pay. And I thought nobody will pay that. Uh-huh. So I'm stuck.
So it's a wee bit of a fall on it now?
There wasn't a thought out, because he wanted me to stay. And I wasn't leaving because I didn't enjoy being there. I loved being at Everton. I had great pals there, and the training, everything about being there was amazing until a Saturday. Sunday, and then turning up on a Monday, boys are all buzzing, they've won all that, and you just feel as if you're not part of it. And it was just, I felt as though I had to go and become a football player again, to play every week. Yeah. He says, I don't want you to leave, I'm not letting you go. And I says, you need to let me go, I need to play. So I think maybe the timing was a wee bit wrong. If I'd left it another 6 months, it could have been different, but I don't have any regrets. I had a great time at Birmingham, met some pals that I'll have for life. And I knew that Alec McLeish would look after me. I knew that he, if ultimately going to pay that kind of money, that he was going to play me and going
You're
to get
gonna
the best
be a top
out
man,
of me.
So you arrive at Birmingham straight away in the team, enjoying it again, back playing?
The first game was a sub, because it went on for a few days, so I hadn't trained. I came on, I think it was against Chelsea, and we were struggling. So I was a sub that game, then I came back. The week later I played, I think I'd scored 3 or 4 goals in the first 6 or 7 games. Everything was going well. And then I tore the cartilage in my knee, and I couldn't... The physio was, I think usually if you do that, you're out for 8 weeks. If the guy that done the operation says I'd be out for 10 days, and the physio was going, right, how are you not fit after 3 weeks? But I didn't know anything about it. Uh-huh. And I says, I don't know. It's sore, I've got fluid in my knee. He says, no, you need to be fit. I was like, well, how can I be fit? Anyway, I just trained. He says, no, you need to just train. So I just tried to train. My knee blew up to the point where I didn't train. I just played on a Saturday. And I was like, I'm 24, I think I was at the time. I'm too young to be doing this. Uh-huh. But we were struggling.
Did you feel pressure because he'd paid that money for you as well?
I felt pressure on myself. He never put me under any pressure.
Carino,
he used to say, how are you feeling? I go, aye, great. Just leave it today, I'll be all right. So I didn't want to let him down.
Did you not feel as sharp because you weren't training every day?
I couldn't. My knee was so swollen that I could hardly plant it. So it was to mine and the team's detriment. But I felt as though the club had paid a lot of money for me, and I wanted to make sure we stayed up. In the end, we went down. But it was something that I would do it again. But it didn't work at that point. But then we went down and he made some good signings, and we obviously came back up the next season, and we went on and had a good run as well in the Premier League when we came back up. I had a great time at Birmingham.
Is Alex quite similar to Moyes? Are they quite similar managers?
I'd say they're different. Alex, a man manager, that's his strength. He is good at the tactical side and that, but for me, it's how he is with you. He's a great guy. Moyes was mayor. Organisation, his training was excellent, but not so much a man manager, he ruled, as I said, everything was organised. He made sure you knew all your jobs and all that was perfect. Tell you to go and play, whereas the story I said about the Scotland thing when I came away, he knew that to get the best out of me, I've been playing left wing and I'd enjoyed it. He knew that. I preferred playing in the hole, and that's where he played me to get the best out of me that day. That was just three things like that.
So then you go back to Everton after Birmingham.
Aye.
How did that come about?
Well, I'd been out for a year. I'd done my cruciate, and I tried to get back for the cup final, but I rushed it, and maybe a wee bit too aggressive my rehab. So then I had to go and get another operation. So I was out for over a year. Wolves asked me to go in and train to prove I was fit. So I went in to train at Wolves, I was there for 2 weeks, done a medical, everything was fine, done every test you could do. Again, Celtic wanted to sign me. But they were wanting me to come up and train as well. I says, fine, but I can't mind who I spoke to. I says, oh, the manager's not in, but they've got a European game, so train me the young boys. And I went, I'm not signing for Celtic's under-20s. I says, who's going to watch me? I've got to see if I'm all right. Or somebody will be there. I says, right, OK. I will do some tests as well. I says, well, I spoke to the guy at Wolves. They're going to send up all the medical stuff, scans, tests for flexibility and strength and all that. No, we'll find something for you there. I was like, no, I'm not. This isn't right.
Doesn't feel right.
And then, down to the contract, Wolves had offered me a deal to the end of the season. Celtic had offered me a deal to the end of the season, but I didn't get appearance money if I came off the bench. But the contract was made to do with appearances, so I thought, well, if I come off the bench and score the winner, I've contributed. So that's not how it works. This is fine. So Everton offered me a year's contract with a 2-year option. So
no-brainer.
I had to take it. And to be fair, because I felt as though I left maybe a wee bit too early, I wanted to go back. All the staff were the same, some of my mates were still there, and I felt as though I was a better player. And the manager, he used to say to me, you could do this better, do that better. When I spoke to him on the phone, he says, look, I want you to come in, we're struggling in the striker department, you're a much better player than when you left, there's more to your game, and I want you to come in and play, and that was all I needed to hear, really.
So, see, when you went back, was he no as hard as hard on you then because you were an
No, he was. He was different as well, though. He'd evolved. That was a good thing about him.
Uh-huh.
He evolved, and I had extra respect for him because when I was there at the time as a young boy, I used to think he doesn't like me. I'm like, this isn't really working. It wasn't until I left, so I went back and I had extra respect for him. I always respected him, but I had extra respect for him, and I had a good relationship with him. As I said, if I had any problems, I could go and see him, and he was always great.
And now the last few years, mate, back in Scotland, how have you enjoyed that?
It's been different. I've enjoyed being back. My kids are obviously older, they're in school, and they've enjoyed being back close to family. Football-wise, it's not really worked out that great for me. It was great going back to Motherwell, helping them finish second. Played in Europe for the club I started at, which I never thought would ever happen. It was great for that point. It's been good. I've experienced a lot. Obviously, last year I was player, assistant manager. I didn't play much, but I learnt the other side of the game. And everything I've done since I've come back, everything I've done my whole career is all learning and taking different bits for it.
How's the game changed for the first time you were here up in Scotland?
When I left, there was a lot of higher level foreign players. There isn't as many now. Uh-huh. The gulf between Celtic now and the rest is much bigger than what it used to be. Obviously, there's no. Maybe this year will be different, but there hasn't been a competitive Rangers the whole time I've been back. And in fact, I've not played against Rangers since I came back, so I think, come on, maybe for St Johnstone in the Cup. So I've not played against them, which is strange. I've been back for years, and obviously I've not been in the league, so I think that's changed. And I know they're trying to do all this stuff with the academy system that's great, and hopefully that's something that will help bring through better players.
Obviously, you were assistant last year. Did you enjoy that side of the game?
It was good. It was a good experience for me. I wasn't looking to be a coach, certainly not at that stage. But I'd been in, obviously, I got injured. And I was getting back to fitness, and then Mark McGee was looking for an assistant, and he wasn't rushing into it. And one day I was doing it training, and he just says, "Do you fancy being my assistant?" And I was like, I says, no, not really.
Why not?
I wasn't even thinking about coaching.
No.
I wasn't even close to it. I just thought, I says, no, I want to keep playing. He went, well, just do both. So relaxed. I says, oh, I need time to think about it, because I've got guys there that I share a dressing room with. I knew that it was going to change the dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I had to speak to them about it. I spoke to a few people that I know. I spoke to David Weir, who obviously was assistant at Rangers at the time. Lee McCullough was assistant at Kilmarnock, just to ask them about, you know, what they thought, and the two of them they couldn't say, you know, they said just take it. And I thought, I took a few days to wait up, and I thought it was a no-brainer. Go and try it. If I don't like it, then at least I've gave it a try. But I think if I never done it, then I'd maybe regretted not trying it.
And did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. It was difficult to start with. Guys that have done their A and pro licence, and you're coaching them. Mark was obviously involved with Scotland, so when it was international breaks, I was there myself.
Taking the boys
myself, the fitness coach and the goalie coach, but I was responsible for training, and it was different. But the longer it went on, the easier it was, the better it was for me. And I'd say I enjoyed it.
Is it something you see yourself doing in the future?
I don't know. As I said, I enjoyed it. It gave me a taste of what it would be like, and it's gave me, when the time comes, if it's either to be an assistant, a coach, a manager, it's an experience that I will definitely use. It gives me an idea of what it's going to be like. Being an assistant, you've got a manager who's in charge. He tells you what to do. He picks a team. You obviously help him, but everything's on him.
Uh-huh. And would you like that responsibility as a manager?
I think I would. I don't have a preference. It just lets me. When you're a player, you just turn up to training. Uh-huh. And you go, oh, what have we got today? That was rubbish. But uh-huh. No knowing how much planning's went into
and
that,
thoughts went into
it, or why you're doing it. Sometimes you just train and do it, and you think, why are we doing this? Like when I was trying to do sessions, I was up all night. I couldn't sleep. Uh-huh. It's like, right, I need to make sure that they enjoy it.
So do you think it's more of a pressure at the other side?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Uh-huh. It's different. Uh-huh. As a player, you have a bad day. One thing, talk about snowy. One thing, uh-huh. A wee meg. Ah, it was a good day, wasn't it? Coach, something messes up, and everybody goes, that wasn't good.
Uh-huh. It's one bad session, it'd be extra rubbish, isn't it?
You're like, oh, no. Oh, you go to boys, how's that? Is that all right? And they're all going, aye, it was brilliant. You're like, I don't know about that.